Welcome to the Steve Noble Podcast. Tons of truth, lots of grace, but no sacred cows. Now, let the show begin.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. It's great to be with you. You might recognize Beth Maul if you were watching or listening to the radio show previously. And I've talked about, I've done videos from, I've been involved with Love Life for a while, ever since they came to Raleigh. And so there's a lot going on there. We live in a very interesting age for the pro-life movement in America. Not a easy age. If you thought that the overturning of Roe versus Wade was going to solve a bunch of problems, it solved some problems, it opened up others. And if you listened the last couple of days when President Trump, who obviously is running for the Republican side of the presidential race coming up in November, just came out with his pro-life statement the other day. Pro-life, I'd put some air quotes around that. He was dancing around it a little bit, 15 weeks. It's each state's decision, this, that, and the other thing, because they know politically it's not a great issue for them. And so they're dancing around it. So if you're looking to Donald Trump or the Republican National Convention to be your bulwark when it comes to the issue of life, you're wasting your time. You're only going to get so much fruit off that tree. So really, what we really need, all of us need to concentrate is what's happening locally. Tip O'Neill used to say all politics is local. He's right. Pro-life stuff is local as well. And so one of the things that's been a great blessing for me over the years is to be involved with Love Life. And this is a frontline ministry showing up outside one of the darkest places in America, which is an abortion clinic, to pray, to worship, to be a presence, to be a divine reminder, but also to follow up with the women and the men that make a decision to choose life and then to support them. There's a whole lot going on that Love Life's been doing. God has really been blessing Love Life and blowing a lot of wind into their sails for the last several years. And Beth Maul is the city director here in Raleigh, lovelife.org. As always, we've also got an event coming up that we want to invite you to and tell you about, as well as 40 weeks in a row on Saturdays coming out for the prayer walk. But Beth, it's great to see you again. Welcome back. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me again.
You're welcome. You don't have to worry about when the segment's over or when the commercial starts or where the intro music comes in or goes out, because we can do this till the cows come home if we want. So it's a lot nicer to not have to worry about that stuff. But it's great to have you back. Let's do a little Love Life 101. I don't want to assume that everybody actually knows what Love Life is all about. So let's do the history of Love Life, and then we'll talk about how you got involved and why you got involved, and then what happens at the Saturday prayer walks. And then we'll end up talking about the 4,000 steps, which we're doing, Love Life is doing with our friends at Human Coalition. But let's just do a little Love Life 101 and make sure everybody understands what God is doing here.
Yeah. So Love Life started in Charlotte, North Carolina, which is the busiest abortion center in the Southeast. Started about 9 years ago by a businessman who was brought to an abortion clinic by his friends to come and pray. When he got there, he looked around and he asked himself and the Lord, where are all the Christians? So he saw a variety of people there, but there was no gospel witness. And it just became a passion of his to bring people, to bring Christians to the local abortion center to pray and to ask God to end abortion. And so that started with maybe 10 people, 30 people, and grew and grew and grew. And now Love Life has had over 100,000 prayer walkers and spread all through the nation. So a lot of people come to us and say, we want to start a Love Life. They see what God has done there in Charlotte, and they want this in their communities, because Christians want to do something about abortion other than just vote, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
You know, if politics was going to be the answer, then somebody would have really done something by now. Right. And so we believe that it will be an act of God to end abortion. Mm-hmm. It will be through his church and his people praying and crying out to him and standing in the gap for the innocent. Those who do not have a voice. And so started with Justin Reeder in Charlotte, spread to Greensboro, Raleigh, New York City. And those were the four big cities. Yeah. And then we've gone all the way to California. There's a House of Refuge in Canada. So it's really spread. And so it's just an amazing ministry. I started, I've been working in the church for 11 years prior to coming on with Love Life in outreach and mobilization. I felt a passion for it. And about 3 years ago, I felt a call to get more involved with the life issue. The Lord just kept putting it on my heart.
Yeah.
And there was just this burden, and I wanted to do something.
Had you ever, Beth, before? Because I think when you mentioned Justin, I think that's for most Christians. Like, I don't know any, you've heard me say this before, I'm sure. I don't know any convictional Christians that aren't pro-life. And of course, they vote that way. They will possibly support a local crisis pregnancy center, a crisis resource center. They'll go to the banquet. Maybe they are a monthly donor somewhere, be it Love Life or something else. But so most people are convictional Christians are pro-life, of course.
Yes.
But I've always used this line, stealing it from the book of James. You show me your pro-life faith by what you say, I'll show you my pro-life faith by what I do. And that's where the big difference. That was Justin Reeder, who's a born-again Christian, loves the Lord and pro-life, but had never stood across the street from an abortion clinic. You don't go to the darkest part of the country. And so it's a step that Christians need to take because again, otherwise we're just, it's just a lot of talking. It makes you feel good. Of course I'm pro-life. Of course I vote for pro-life candidates. But in the end, like you said, it's the church and calling out to the Lord and a move of God is what will solve it. It doesn't matter who's in the White House. That made a difference, obviously, when it came to Supreme Court judges and then the overturning of Roe versus Wade, which was bad law and immoral from the start. And that's all good, but it hasn't ended the problem. That's a heart issue, and God deals with the affairs of the heart. And so I think for Justin, for me, several years ago, it was many years ago when I'm like, okay, so I'm a pro-life Christian. So what? What am I actually accomplishing? And then started to do frontline stuff. And then, so what was going on with you, Beth? Because you were at a local church, a prominent local church, a busy local church, a pro-life Christian. But the Lord just kind of had this burden on you to kind of go from one side of the equation to the other. Is that basically what was going on?
Yeah, I think I've always been interested in the pro-life world, but afraid of it. Mm. So like many of us, you see on the news what the pro-life groups do, and it was very unappealing to me. Now I know they only highlight people who go crazy out on
the dress like the Grim Reaper and screaming at everybody, right? Yeah.
The yelling, the demeaning of women. And so I really was just like, I don't want to even get involved in that. And I remember when Unplanned came out, the movie, everybody's like, you should go see it. And I was like, I don't want to go see that. Like, it's so dark. And I just didn't really want to engage in it. And when I did start feeling like God was calling me to get engaged, I looked around, I looked at pregnancy centers, I looked at different ways for me to be involved. And I was just really praying that God would put me, you know, really use my gifts. And that's how I ended up with Love Life. But when I first came, I was just like, I don't want to ever do this again. Like, it feels really dark and heavy.
When you first came, you mean like the first time you went to a prayer walk on a Saturday? So I want people to understand, they go, okay, Love Life's a pro-life ministry, but what do you do? And that's really the epicenter of the Love Life story, is the 40 weeks present in front of an abortion clinic. So I want to make sure people understand that. And that's why I drag my students, which I had to text you anyway, because I want to bring students out the last Saturday in April. But that's, it's like the movie Unplanned. Like, I shamed a lot of people because we did a couple of showings before the movie ever came out. We actually did one at your church where you were working. Mm-hmm. And I was basically twisting arms. I'm like, you have to, I know it's uncomfortable. I know it's dark. I know you don't want to see it. I know, I understand. But something has to happen to kind of jolt you to go, okay, I need to do something. So tell us about the first time you went to a Saturday prayer walk, because it is kind of a jolting experience.
Yeah, so I had been invited to Love Life by a member of our church several times. And I was like, no, thank you. I'll pass.
Does his first name begin with an M and end with a K? Or was it? I'm sure I know who you're talking about.
I will not disclose. But I just was like, that's not for me. Yeah. And then I, as I started, like I said, looking at all the different ways you can be involved in pro-life, and I saw Love Life, I saw what they were doing. I thought, well, let me go check it out. And when I went, so yes, the idea is you come and pray. I think the idea of praying for an hour and a half can be intimidating for people, but it's more of a program, if that makes sense. So we arrive, we do kind of a pre-program before we go to the abortion center, get people ready, hear a testimony, hear from a pastor. Then we head over for about 25 minutes in front of the abortion center and really pray. We pray out loud. We pray in groups. We have music and worship. We hear another testimony.
Yeah, because in Raleigh, you walk from the original location where everybody gathers, and we walk to the clinic, and people are praying along the way, and then you get there, and then the program continues.
That's yes, and it's a prayer walks, right? Right. We're walking, praying, and we're together. So, and then we head back to our location and get a picture and all that kind of stuff. So I think a lot of people are like, well, I can't pray for an hour and a half, even though we should be able to pray for an hour and a half. But we don't. It's a whole program. And we have prayer infused in all parts of it. But when I went, it just, you're watching women drive in. There are groups that are more vocal. It can feel a little chaotic. Now, since I've been doing it almost 3 years, there's times where it's completely peaceful.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, so it changes every week. But the first time I went, I just felt like, oh my gosh, this is too much. This is so sad. It just grieves my heart. And I thought I told my husband, like, I don't think I'm coming back. And then a couple days later, I thought, I don't think I can not come back. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, it's one of those things when you see it, it's just like going on a global mission trip, right? You go to these super dark areas where there's no gospel, right? There's maybe two Christians, and you're like, this is awful. This is so tragic. And then what happens? You're like, I want to do more. I want to do a short-term mission trip, or I want to go and be a missionary, or I want to give, or I want to build buildings, whatever the God calls you to do. But it's a similar experience. And that's why I encourage Christians to come. Yes, you might be a little afraid. You're doing something that you don't have a category for, right?
Right.
If you do have a category, it's from the media, right? Of like these crazy people screaming and all that. That is not what we are, right? So come and see, come and experience it. And so I started coming, and I started seeing like God wanted to use me here, and they needed a director to take over full time. And so I really prayed about it, and I was really afraid. I was nervous about engaging in the pro-life world. There's a lot of spiritual warfare. There's cancel culture. I mean, when I tell people what I do for a living, can you imagine their response, you know, outside of
Beth the is one of those. You're one of those wackos. And in the pro-life movement, which anybody that's operated inside the pro-life movement knows, it's not always kumbaya. And there's competition, and there's some scarcity ethic going on there, because where people are worried about there's only so many donor dollars out there, as if God is constrained by that. But yeah, it can be very intimidating. And I remember, and I've shared this before with you on site, I really struggled with my anger there for a while, because you see the volunteers at the clinic with their rainbow vests. And before, when Kelsey was there all the time, early on, she'd pull out this big speaker, stick it up. You're literally across the street. So the distance from me to the camera I'm looking at is about 6 feet. Go about 30 feet. So on the opposite ends of the room I'm in, and there's the abortion clinic driveway, and there's the workers, the volunteers in their rainbow vests. And she used to stick that speaker at the end of the driveway there and blast the most vile rap music they could find while we're over here singing hymns and praying. And I couldn't stand these people. And I'm like, imprecatory prayers, let their teeth fall out. I mean, I really struggled with my anger. Yes. And then after a while, God softens your heart. And he's like, hey, Steve, I died for her and all these other people as much as I died for you. You're not some elitist. You're acting like one, but you're not. And you just have to you have to show up, and then the Lord will start working in your heart. Going to church doesn't really do this. Putting money in the plate doesn't do it. Serving in a Sunday school doesn't do it. Hanging out with your small group doesn't do it. There really isn't anything in my Christian life that I would categorize with the experience of sowing into that darkness through prayer and worship at a Love Life event. There's nothing else that I've experienced that does that. But you have to go there to actually see it for yourself.
Right. You have to experience it. And, we say we're there to bring the light of Christ to the darkest place of our city. There is no other place where we know children are appointed to die. And if we knew, an elementary school with 30 to 40 children in it, right? Because we see 30 to 40 women each day, it's open. If we knew somebody was going to shoot that school up, we Christians would run. Would we not run to that
building? Everybody.
We would make a human chain. We would tackle. We would do whatever it took to save those children. And so, we obviously can't do that. And we don't, do anything physically or break any rules or anything.
The weapons of our warfare are not carnal.
Right. And we focus on prayer, but that is what we're doing. We're saying we're standing in the gap for these children. This is important. It's so important. I want you to get up on a Saturday morning early, and I want you to not take your kids to soccer or baseball. And I want you to take your kids to the abortion center so that they can see the darkness. Right. Mm-hmm. And like you were saying, there's something about encountering evil, right? We don't want to see evil, right? We protect our eyes from evil. We do all the stuff. We don't want to see evil. But there is something about us needing to be there, right? To bring the light of Christ and to face evil. And that is what is happening. And that's why you feel angry, right? You're looking at brokenness. You're looking at evil and lies and murder. And you're like, it should shock us, right? If we're not shocked,
there's something wrong with you.
But that shock, then we want to turn into prayer and grieving, right? And then compassion for the lost. Because the women going in there are lost. The people standing out there are lost. And everybody in the building is lost. And if our hearts are not drawn to compassion for them, then we truly can't offer these prayers to the Lord. We've got to know that God loves them, and God wants good for them. So
it's such a powerful aspect of this because I've got a friend, Jim Young, who started a ministry called Capital Commission. They just do Bible studies and outreach, not for the sake of affecting policy directly, but just to minister to people. They started here in Raleigh. They're in like 25 or 30 state capitals around the country. And that's when I got on this prayer list, pray1tim2.org, because that's when I learned that we're actually commanded to pray for those in authority over us. Mm-hmm. And then every day I get these emails, and then part of the email are people that are in the federal level, usually House or Senate, and then our own state legislature, sometimes judicial people or executive like the governor, the president. And I'm having to pray for people on the other side of the political aisle. And I'm like, I don't really want to pray for them, but yet I'm commanded to. And as you start praying for your enemies, God does something in your heart. And being out there, Christ has ministered to me so many times. And we're talking to Beth Moll, who's the city director here in Raleigh, North Carolina, for Love Life. Lovelife.org is the website you can go to and check it all out, as well as you can go to Facebook and find Love Life if you're in one of the markets where they already are, or just no matter where you're at. And there's abortion clinics all over the country. So you don't need to be in a Love Life city to actually do this. But Christ ministering to me in so many different ways. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus looks out over Jerusalem and he weeps because he sees they're like sheep without a shepherd. Mm-hmm. It really does sensitize your heart to the lost, because you see such an extreme example of what happens to people when they're not walking with the Lord. And we know this got me in trouble before, because I took a picture of one of the cars that went in to the clinic, and on the back of the car, it had a sticker of a prominent local church. And so I took the picture and then texted it to the pastor. And I'm okay, this now Beth knows me well enough that you're a little freaked out by that, but you know, that's not outside of my scope of comfort. But it allowed me to have a conversation. I'm like, look, this is happening in every church. It's every Sunday. You go to church this Sunday, Beth, where you go, where I go, it doesn't matter. There's post-abortive men and women in there. And there's Christian women or people that claim to be Christian that show up at the abortion clinic. All that stuff's going through your head and your spirit when you're standing outside with Love Life. And God really does a work in your heart. So when I go there now, I have so much compassion, angry about the event, angry about the murder, angry about the darkness. But when I look at the people, I really do see they're like sheep without a shepherd.
Yes.
And I think we all, especially in this cancel culture, as you mentioned, Beth, in the incredibly vitriolic political arena we're in, I know for myself, I dehumanized a good chunk of the country because of these issues. But my heart wasn't in a gospel position that God could bless or even smile at. And Love Life is one of the ways God continued to shape and impact my heart. That's why this is such an important topic for me to talk to and to talk to you about it, because of what it did to me and how God ministered to me through Love Life.
Yeah. And there's so many myths around abortion. And one of the things I love about Love Life is we're going to educate you. We're going to give you statistics. We're going to give you talking points. Because this idea that women love abortion that the media pushes, that it's just such a wonderful thing and it's a right. And the women that come into our clinic, they're oftentimes crying. They're being coerced by grandma or boyfriend. Mm-hmm. They're slumped down in the car. They're ashamed. Women do not run to the abortion center delighted and excited to kill child. It is not a reality. And that helps us to see the women who are choosing abortion in a different light, right? Mm-hmm. What the media wants you to believe is they're going to shout their abortion and it's so great. It's the most wonderful thing in the world. No, the women that are coming are struggling and they do feel like they don't have another choice. Their circumstances are overwhelming. And I'm telling you, there's toxic relationships, there's housing issues, you're going to lose your job, you don't have daycare. Like, there's big issues. These women are just not running here. Like, this is the greatest thing on earth. And, you know, it's coming and seeing and then connecting, like you're saying. These are broken women, broken men, you know, because we talk about this. Men are driving the women there. They're paying for the abortion. They're sitting in the car smoking a cigarette or going to get coffee at McDonald's and Chick-fil-A. Like, they are passive in this whole thing. This is their child. You know, they're passive. They say, oh, it's her choice, you know, and we say, no, this is your baby. We want to help you. We want to help you become a dad and be who God designed you to be and to provide for your family.
So. I don't want people to get the thought that it's all dark all the time, because you do see miracles.
For sure. For sure.
Talk about that.
Yeah. So, I mean, one of the things I love about Love Life is it's an adventure, right? Like, there is no, every week is different. There are some weeks that are so discouraging, and then there are weeks where it blows your mind what God is doing. We had 5 baby saves this week, 2 in Chapel Hill at the Planned Parenthood, which never happens. And then 2 in Raleigh and 2 in Durham, because we're at 3 different sites. Man. And these are babies, right? Mm-hmm. That would have been killed, would not be here without Christians showing up and praying. And then we have our outreach team, our sidewalk outreach team that reaches out to moms. So yeah, that's 6 babies just in 1 week. We've had 49 so far this year. A set of girls born on Valentine's, a set of boys born on the 15th, the day after. Wow. So
there were twins born on Valentine's Day?
Twin girls and then twin
boys. Noble child number 3 is a Valentine's baby.
Yeah.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, and the two boys born on February 15th, which is my son's birthday.
Oh, and, how cool is that?
Yeah, moms have accepted Christ. They're in church. I mean, this is amazing. One of the gals, the dad has come back. So we're working on getting him a mentor. Mm. You know, so God is always working, right? It can be a discouraging area of ministry, but even if we did this for 40 weeks, for 40 years, and it was one baby, right? One life was saved. It's like God did a miracle. I mean, it is a miracle every time a baby is saved. Or a mom gets help who chose abortion. Right. She said, I'm doing it. And then she comes to us for post-abortion healing. Hey, that's a miracle because her life is going to be transformed, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, we see babies saved. We started with 7 volunteers, like consistent volunteers, and you used to help, I know, a lot when it just started. We're up to, in 3 years, we're up to 157. That's big. Yeah, it's big. And that's rotating. They're doing mentor sidewalks, walks.
Yeah, because Love Life is holistic. It's not like all we do is come out and do the prayer walk. It's encountering people where they're at, then joining them, especially when they make a life decision. Or like you said, Beth, sometimes there's post-abortive and there's post-abortive Bible study and counseling there. It's really a holistic approach to the whole thing, which you wanted Roe, you know, I'm saying that universally, you meaning the church, we wanted Roe versus Wade overturned. Well, you got it. But here's the problem now. Is it puts the ball squarely in our court. So now you have to be the answer. We have to show up and say, okay, yes, we don't want abortion to be prolific, but we know you're in a circumstance, this kind, that kind, the guy, the girl, whatever the situation is. And now will you actually walk with these people?
Yes.
And you do. Love Life does that. You walk with them. It's not just about a decision on a Saturday.
Exactly. So the prayer walks are that catalyst event. That's come and see, and then let's see what God wants you to do with this, right? What's your ongoing connection with Love Life? And that's where you can become a mentor, do the sidewalks, can do foster care. You can help with restored life. You can throw baby showers, all that good stuff. So, I encourage people to come in and walk with us. Just come and walk. We have anywhere from 50 to 200 people there. You're not by yourself. You're not in this little group. It's big. And, you know, because we have so many numbers, there's some comfort and safety in that.
That's right.
And then we have an awesome leadership team and volunteers. And so God has really blessed us.
I've watched it impact people at such a deep level, whether it's adults or students. My students are forever changed. I'm like, listen, I'll bribe you if I have to. I give them all kinds of extra credit to go out there because that's way more important to me than whether they have an easier time moving their grade around. This is a much bigger issue than that. And it will impact you. I often tell people, hey, listen, the minute you decide I'm going, you're going to feel the blessing of the Lord. And then when you get up Saturday morning, you're going to feel blessed. When you're driving there, you're going to feel blessed. When you park and you see other people, you're going to be blessed. The whole process will be a blessing for you. And when you go home, because there's always a blessing in obedience, and that's just the way it works. And so you'll be, all right, I'm nervous, but trust me, that's normal. I was nervous the first time. And after that, it's just blessing upon blessing. While at the same time, you're dealing with a really dark subject. It's just the reality of it. But man, it really ministers to your soul as somebody that claims to be pro-life. Again, show me your pro-life faith by what you say, and then we need to show it by what we do. Let's talk about 4,000 steps. That's so they've got every Saturday for 40 weeks in a row, lovelife.org. You can get that information. Mm-hmm. But 4,000 steps is something Human Coalition, our friends there, which is a great nationwide pro-life ministry, and Love Life, which is a great fundraiser. It's another way for people to kind of engage in a real fashion, something that you actually do. So let's talk about that because I know it's coming up.
Yeah. So Love Life and Human Coalition have joined together in partnering to host 4,000 Steps on May 4th. It starts at 9 a.m. We're going to walk for life with Love Life in our normal spot off of Horton Street. And then after our walk, we're going to head over to Cross Assembly off Yonkers Road, and we're going to have food, Chick-fil-A. So
of course, because
it's Christian chicken, so gotta have
right because we love Jesus, so we have Chick-fil-A.
We're gonna have bouncy houses and just fun kind of popcorn, all sorts of things.
That's awesome.
So family friendly, and we're going to then have these different interactive stations where you're going to learn about the different obstacles women go through to choose life. One I'm really excited about is about, which is kind of weird to say I'm excited about this, but this is because this is my life. But I don't know. Most people don't know that there's actually more abortion now post Roe versus Wade because of the abortion pill.
You
don't keep up with that. These pro-life issues, you don't know that. And a lot of people come up to me and they say, oh, we don't even have abortion. And I'm like, no, no, no. North Carolina is an abortion destination. And so abortion is still happening and it's actually increased because of that mail-in abortion pill.
We went over a million nationwide officially last year. Yeah. I think it's more than that anyway. But before that, we had been under seven figures. Now we went back up because of the RU486. So again, praise the Lord that Roe versus Wade was overturned. But there's other ways to skin this cat, and that's RU486. And there's pressure in Congress to want to make it completely mail order butchery, whatever you want to call it. And so surgical abortions might be down because of clinics, but the pill is
being mailed in right now, and it's being mailed into states that it's illegal. And I've been doing research on this, and one of the interactive exhibits we're going to have is all about the chemical abortions. And I've been studying it, and it's very interesting what is happening. So we're going to go through that. We're going to look at housing issues, because I think a lot of people just say, well, she should choose life because, you know, and if she has a housing issue, well, she can just go to a maternity home. Well, there's like one in Raleigh. Right. Yes. With like 15 spots. I mean,
easier said than done.
So we're going to be educating you guys. And I think this is going to be really important. We want people to be able to talk about this in the public square in a in an educated way. Not just a biblical point of view, but also what is really the truth? You know, what is really happening? You know, what does the Bible say? Yes. But what does science say? You know, what are the realities of these decisions? You know, how does this really impact people? So going to go through these stations. It's going to be amazing. We're really excited. We are a perfect pairing because Human Coalition focuses on the online, reaching women online, and we reach women on the front lines. So when we were approached with this idea of you want to join together, I thought, online, frontline, how perfect. There you go.
Yeah, that's great. It really is.
Both. We have to do both, right? You can't just do one thing. And I always tell people when they talk about competition, it's like, no, no, it's going to take all of us to end abortion.
Everybody.
All of us. It's going to take the pregnancy center. It's going to take Love Life. It's going to take online, you know, battling Google online. When you research about abortion stuff online, the first 15 to 20 websites are all pro-abortion.
That's right.
So we have to have organizations trying to get up
the list. To move up the search engine results. Yeah. That's right. I mean, it's a Human Coalition is brilliant at that.
They are.
And then they have phone counselors, because before they show up at the abortion clinic, be it here in Raleigh or down in Charlotte or wherever, they're making the connection online. They're searching.
Yes.
And that's where Human Coalition knows how to play that game. And so you can get them on the phone, and they have phone counselors to talk to them. First contact is so important. And then if they end up at the clinic, that's where Love Life is there with that presence. Frontline and online is a perfect way of looking.
I love it. And that's what God downloaded in me when we partnered. I was like, frontline, online, this is perfect. And so it's going to be an amazing day. We do need to raise money, and we're praying God would provide $75,000 for our organizations.
How does that actually work that day? So like, what do people do in order to not only be a part of it and go to the regular Love Life prayer walk, but then to go over to Cross Assembly after that? How can we raise money? What do we do functionally? How do we do that?
Yeah. So we have a FundEasy platform, or we're using FundEasy to raise the money. If you're interested, just email me, beth@lovelife.org. That's beth@lovelife.org. And I'll send you the link. That's primarily how we're raising money, is through that platform. We're hoping to have all the money raised before the event, but, if not, we'll also, you know, of course, engage people in giving that day. We also want people to get involved with us, so to give financially and to come and sign up for walks and mentors and baby showers and all that great stuff too. So it's a great way to get really engaged in this movement. So you can participate in two ways. You can come May 4th and experience the whole thing, Or you can give if you cannot make the date. We want everybody to be involved. And you just email me for the link, Beth.
And May 4th, again, starts with the regular Love Life prayer walk, which is from basically 9 to 11. And then everybody goes to Cross Assembly, which really isn't that far from there. It's probably a 10-minute drive, 12, 15 at the most, but pretty much closer to 10.
Yeah.
And then how long will that last over at Cross Assembly? Because that's where you have the different educational stations and the bouncy house and Jesus Chicken and all that fun stuff. How long does that last?
Yeah, we think it'll be from 9 to 2. So, it's going to be a long day, but hey, people walk for diabetes.
What a fun day.
Yeah. Right. People walk for MS. I mean, people walk for brain cancer. We're asking you to walk for life, and it's local. You don't have to drive to DC to go to the March for Life. You can do it in your community.
That's right. Nice and easy. And listen, people in North Carolina and other states, but especially here in North Carolina, they'll go walk for hours on multiple days at the state fair, and all you get is a dry turkey leg. In this case, you're walking to actually make a difference in the lives of moms and dads and children.
Yeah.
And that's why I love that you mentioned it's family friendly. This should be a family event. You should not be afraid to get your, like, do you need to tell your 6-year-old about abortion? Probably not. But by the time they're 8 or 9, they're going to start hearing this stuff anyway. And you can introduce it in a way that's appropriate for their age, but they should know that life is an issue and that the church is engaged, and we're out looking to bless and serve babies and moms and dads. That's a message that our kids should be getting, and to see mom or dad, whatever the case may be, actually out doing something. Beth, we don't just talk about being pro-life from the pulpit on Pro-Life Sanctity of Life Sunday. That's actually a lifestyle. And we're actually going to go do something. We're not going to go to the soccer game, whatever, and actually go do something for this cause is a tremendous message to send to your children.
Right. And I mean, we say all the time, it's family friendly, and we want the church and the parents educating their children on abortion, not TikTok and Snapchat and school friends.
Right.
Amen. So the earlier, and I struggled with this a little bit, but it's like the earlier the better, because you're like laying that foundation with them so that they're growing up pro-life, and it's not a political pro-life. I mean, we want them to love life, because Jesus came to give us life, an abundant life. And so we want our kids seeing us fighting for life and loving life. And so, I had to bring my daughter. She was pretty young when I started this job, and I had to kind of tell her everything because I was going to be doing this job. I couldn't hide anything.
Can't hide that.
Yeah. And the first time she went out, she turned pale as a ghost. She was 8 at the time, pale as a ghost out there, just thinking about what was happening in there. And so I thought, and afterwards she said, I didn't like it. And I just don't like it. And then she started saying, I want to go back with you. So it's like, it is sad, right? Mm-hmm. And you don't want your children hurting, but you also want them to understand what is really happening. And then you want God to move them forward.
Right.
That's what happened with her. And now she says, I want to go with you, and I want to read the baby features, or I want to do this. So she's, wants to be engaged. And so that's what we want. We want our kids, let's go ahead and educate them, because if you don't tell them, guess who's going to tell them?
That's right. And you want their heart tenderized to reality.
Yes.
This is actually happening. This is actually costing actual lives. It's devastating families. It's devastating moms and dads. Yes. And children are losing their lives as a result. And your heart needs to be broken.
Right.
That's the way we should look at the lost and people that don't know the gospel. Your heart needs to break for them. And the sooner our children are thinking at that heart level, the better off they'll be.
Right.
So again, May 4th, Saturday, May 4th, the regular Love Life Walk here in Raleigh, 9 a.m. And then jump over to Cross Assembly and have that family time together and an educational time together, and being able to raise money and try to support this ministry with your feet and with your dollars. You can email Beth Mall. Just email her, beth@lovelife.org is her email address, beth@lovelife.org. Most of you guys know my email, so you can get to me and I'll get you to Beth. But the general information just about the Love Life Prayer Walk is at the website. So you can go to lovelife.org and get that. But that's coming up on May 4th, 9 a.m. and then over at Cross Assembly. And we'll make sure, because are you guys posting about that on Facebook and stuff? I know you have to be careful because you don't want a bunch of opposition people showing up across assembly, but will there be information about it as well on Facebook if people follow the Love Life page on Facebook for Raleigh?
Yes, yes. And I'd love for you guys to join our page, Love Life Triangle, on Facebook as well. And so we'll put it there, and then there'll be some emails, blasts, and all sorts of stuff. So,
cool.
But yeah, if you have any questions, just email me. And we're not really worried about opposition anymore. They've really calmed down. And that's been
good.
I mean, as a result of those prayers of just, you know, that there's peace. And so we don't really have issues with that anymore, which has been
a blessing.
And so we go forward. We're not careful anymore. I mean, we get our permits with the city. Yeah. We do the right thing. If you're doing the right thing and obeying the law and honoring the Lord, you do not have to worry about all the other stuff.
So God will take care of the rest. That's right.
He really does. So, no worries. Just come join us. It's going to be a great day. You can come any Saturday, but we'd love to see you May 4th.
Right.
Looking for a big, large group to walk for life and then celebrate all that God's done.
And details for that, as well as the link to donate and be a part of it financially, just email Beth. Beth@lovelife.org is her email address, Beth@lovelife.org. Be sure to follow on Facebook, Love Life Triangle, and get information there as well. But Saturday, May 4th, starting at 9 a.m. and then jumping over to Cross Assembly. Beth, always great to see you. Always great to have you on. Thank you so much for your ministry, and thank you so much for your work for not just the children, but for the moms and the dads and for the glory of God. It's all in there, which is why Love Life is such an awesome effort. We really appreciate you.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to serve the Lord, right?
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks for being on.
Thank you. Talk to you soon.
You're welcome.
Bye.